It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates, and he joins me on the line now. How are you, KB?
Very well, thank you, Sam.
Good. Leeds United going well as well. Back to winning ways on Tuesday night, a 2-1 win over Bristol City. A couple of defeats back-to-back for the Whites, but they've bounced back, and that playoff pitch is looking very interesting.
Well, it is, because we've now two-thirds of the season gone, OK? And we're in the playoffs. There's a comfort gap of what, 6-7 points between the sixth club, but between Leeds, the fifth club, and the seventh club. But so that means under pressure. But now they can get down, and start playing properly, and in a sort of relaxed way, and I think the things are looking good. And the fans should keep behind Monk. Get behind Monk and the players and keep cheering. And I believe that Leeds will finish up in the top six. The first two, well, they're running away at the moment, but clubs have been known to collapse before now. And let's hope Brighton or Newcastle do. Or both of them. That'd make far more fun. But at the moment, let's keep going. Plugging away, nice and gently. He's good. It's nice the fans are coming back. 30,000 watching the game. Great. Everything in the garden's lovely. Let's keep it that way. But then let's get complacent. Important thing. And it's great for Yorkshire as a whole, isn't it? Huddersfield Town, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley, Sheffield United. Near the top of Division 1. Could be great. They might rename the champions next season the Yorkshire League. Who knows? Could be a good idea.
Indeed, Yorkshire going very well. As you said there, Huddersfield Town there, now knocking on the door of automatic promotion with 4 points away from Brighton. Sheffield Wednesday going well as well. Barnsley, it's been a real rejuvenation for Yorkshire this year.
No, I'm delighted. Biggest county outside London. So they should be doing well. After a period of very bad performances, but you know, in football you have your ups and downs, and they're having ups. Let's enjoy them while we may.
Indeed. Some stories relating to football in the news this week. One out today, a report that is linking dementia to football emerging. Questions being asked, all sorts of questions about...
Yeah, but hang on, let's hold it. First of all, who wrote this study? I mean, we just see the headlines. You don't know how much work went into it. But I have reservations about it. Don't forget, I can remember a few years ago, they used to have competitions at half-time and... How many times could he head the ball without forgetting it? It used to run into the hundreds. And in the old days, when I was a kid and I played football, and the early days of it, the footballs were leather. They were very heavy. And in bad weather, wet weather, they soaked up the leather, soaked up the water. They were really heavy. Blah, blah. But now we've got plastic footballs. They don't absorb water. They're much lighter, but... I have my reservations. I'm not so sure. Mm. Is this another political correctness thing that's not worrying about it? Blah, blah, blah. Somebody said we've had a ball more than five times in a match. What are we going to have now? People on the touchline, counting the number of balls. It can't hit after that. No. Boom, boom. Oh, come on, let's get a life.
Elsewhere, Ian Eyre has been talking the outgoing Liverpool chief executive, and this has been a story that's run for a long time, as whether the big six or so-called big six in the Premier League should be earning more from Premier League TV deals. And you've been part of the history of this debate going back a number of years.
Yeah, well, okay, this will take a little time, so let me set the scene, okay? I've always been, when I joined football, 1965, when I became chairman of Oldham. From that time, even when Chelsea were at the height, I've always supported the small clubs. because without the small clubs, we're not any big clubs. And therefore, I've always thought they should need support financially to take the pressure off of, financial pressure off them, because they are our grassroots. And it's always been the same, the big clubs, the so-called Big Six. This is all said by David Dean of Arsenal. He's always trying to look for, slap a few extra bob for, on the side for the big clubs. I remember Martin Edwards, this is about 1988, who was then the chairman of Manchester United, said they didn't want central bargaining. They wanted the right to negotiate their own football, their own TV match, TV rights. And I said, but hang on, Martin. When we come up, when Chelsea come up to play you at Old Trafford, we're 50% the entertainment. But there won't be a game. How are you going to expect us to work for nothing? A long pause, because he hadn't thought about that. But he said, well, yeah, you can sell your TV rights if you want. I said, no. I said, if your proposal goes through, then when we turn up to Old Trafford, my team will sit in the dressing room and they won't come out. So I've got a bank draft off you, half the TV deal, that match. That shook him. Not surprising. And it faded away. And then the next thing we had, in 19, what happened was that, it used to be BBC and ITV cartel, which is illegal, but they did it anyway. They used to do a joint bid for the TV rights, which artificially depressed the price. So I broke that, putting up for auction. And one time we took it off TV, football off TV altogether. And then Greg Dyke came along. Greg Dyke was in, he was the subsequent Football League chairman. He should never have been. But at the time he was TV chair of ITV. And he made his name, if you can remember, I think Thames TV were going bust. He brought in Roland Ratt to do the news forecast. Anyway, he came up with David Dean, ITV Super League. And the idea was that 10 clubs would break away, ITV Super League, boom, boom. We said, well, we'll stop that as well. How? I said, well, first of all, we will not accept any of your overpaid players in the Football League. And what's more, we won't pay you transfer fees when we nick them. Secondly, since the FA nominates who goes into Europe, I'll bloody make sure the FA doesn't nominate any ITV Super League clubs into Europe, so you can forget Europe. And he got a tote, that fell away. The next thing is David Dean again and Martin Edwards and the two Liverpool clubs, Tottenham Hotspur. They tried to organise another breakaway league. And no, so they wanted to form their own European Super League while they're still inside the football league. We said, well, we'll organise our fixtures. So our fixtures coincide with your Super League fixtures. So you have to decide which of your teams play, which the reserve team plays in the Football League. You know, that fell away. And then we came down to the Premier League. Now, I must say, I wondered with David Dean what happened, because I asked him about this and I'll tell you. became a situation whereby the proposal was, well, first of all, there was only 11 players, if you remember. Then you had a sub, 12 men, 12 players. And then the proposal was to fit in with Europe, 13 players, two subs. And I asked, anyway, David said, well, David Dean said, well, we're trying to compete in Europe. The chairman of Rochdale objected to it, to the 13, two super clubs, said, we'd have to pay another appearance money. And David Dean said, I thought, without being unkind, is English football going to be held back by Rochdale's chairman? You're looking at that. So then the Premier League came up, which the FA, we now regret, supported. But we were negotiating it at Lancaster Gate. There's myself and Sam Haman and Ron Nodes. So we laid down what was called a founder's agreement. It could not be changed unless by a 14-6 vote. And one of them was to be previous to TV. It was all fiddle-diddled. One of the deals said, OK, TV, the domestic TV money split into four quarters. Two quarters, a half, were shared with 20 clubs equally. A quarter of the money was paid out in appearance money for TV, home and away clubs getting equal shares. The other quarter was shared out on your place. You know, top club got 20 units, bottom club got one. When the big clubs started objecting, I said, well, what do you bother about? You're so bloody arrogant. You'll think you'll finish in the top six anyway. But you'll get most of the money. What do you bother about? But all the rest of the money, sponsorship, overseas TV rights, would be shared equally. At the time, overseas TV rights were a joke. Thames TV had the overseas rights. We used to get £300,000 for the whole football league. We used to get £900 to £1 million. They used to take 30% commission, then charge 30% production costs. Also, when they were selling football, they'd go to Malaysia, for example, and say, well, you know, so much for Coronation Street, and we'll throw in Football League for a bit more. So that had to stop as well. But now, of course, overseas rights, I must confess, I never thought that it'd create the huge ogre we've got now. But now, overseas rights are worth more than home rights. So these top six are now saying, we want more. The answer is F off. Because if we want a really great league, then you have to have people to play. I remember, again, I'm going back a bit, I said to Martin Edwards, well, you want the small clubs in the league, so when you beat them 5-0 at home, you think how bloody clever you are and what a good manager you've got. I said, what are you going to do? Play your reserve team every week. First team versus reserves. Don't be stupid. And that's why central negotiation, central contracts are inviolate, because it's a foundation, stone of the Premier League, and it's why we're the best league in the world. And if you look at the other leagues in Europe, Italy, Spain, France, Holland, you look at the leagues of 15, 16, 18 clubs, there's only three. All the rest just make up the numbers. But only in England can Swansea go and beat the top five 2-0 or Hull. Only in England we get upsets, I said. Only in England we get a club like Leicester City winning the Premier League. Okay. And they've now gone back to where they come from. But only in England and that's what sells it. That's what makes it so exciting around the world. We mustn't change it. If they don't like it, they can bugger off.
Do you think that the appetite for it and the fact that it keeps coming round again and again, this debate, that one day the big six or whatever you want to call them will get their wish and maybe break away, as you talked about with the ITV Super League, that something like that may happen one day?
Well, yeah, that's quite interesting. They break away and bugger. I can't see it happening because the FA got all that to start with. And the FA has to nominate. It's a bit funny. The UEFA and the European competitions, the members, the people that compete, are nominated by the FA. All they have to do is say, OK, we ain't not going to nominate the top six. They're going to play in Europe. If they want to start playing tough, I heard it all before. There's 15, 20 years, and now we're telling them every time. OK. When you have transfers, when you're trying to get rid of your, when you're trying to get rid of your older players, no, we won't take them. No, we won't register them. No, we won't let you send your young players out to the Football League for experience. No, you've got them, keep them. Oh, there's plenty of ways. This Mr. Ayres, I notice, has buggered off anyway. He's gone to Europe somewhere. There are plenty of ways of subverting a few outstanding troublemakers. As David Dean, Martin Edwards, and one or two others found to their cost. Because at the end of the day, you need two teams per match. We have to have competition. And this competition needs the majority take part in it. All right? They're not in the FA Cup at all. That means they can't play in Europe. Not in the Football League Cup at all. Good. Those six clubs would be sick of playing each other, wouldn't they? I remember during the war, when they got football going again, you know, you had the English League and you had the Welsh League. There's six clubs. I think they played each other six times during the season. Didn't work out. No, don't worry about it. For every smart ass in a big club to think they don't need the rest of the world, there are plenty more people. Just because they don't own a top six club doesn't mean they, the owners, aren't bright, aren't clever, aren't ingenious. And every club's got one vote. Wouldn't worry about it, Sam.
Elsewhere, good news for Yorkshire this week, staying in the sporting circles, this time with cricket. Joe Root named the new England Test captain.
I was watching him being interviewed on TV today. I was wondering if he'd played hooky from school, he looked so young. But on the other hand, of course, if you want some advice, you can turn to Ian Botham, Geoffrey Boycott, plenty of great Yorkshire yesteryears. You can give him help. He looks nice and quiet and reserved. I think he'd do a good job. And once again, he's a Yorkshireman. Fantastic.
Indeed, great to see. And it seems to have the universal backing as well of all the former captains. UKIP leader Paul Nuttall has been in the news this week apologising over false claims. He lost close friends in the Hillsborough disaster.
Fair. Yeah, to be fair. First of all, it's about something 6 years ago anyway. But also, to be fair, it was his secretary put it out. I mean, I don't know why they bothered about it. Very silly. But the trouble is at the moment, of course, we're getting this trivia, aren't we? And we've got this David Davis and what's that girl, woman's name? Abbott. What's her name, Abbott? Dawn Abbott, or whatever her name is. Who voted against her leader's instructions to vote. And then she voted reluctantly. And, you know, behind the scenes in the bars, we laugh and joke. Davey did, you know, taking the mickey and said, you know, thanks for your vote, and went and put her arms around him. She told him to F off. Now it's all been blown up. It's a load of nonsense. It's all trivia. What has that got to do with it? Fact of the matter is, Dawn Abbott is not true to her colours, in my opinion. And the drink in the pub, voted the night before, all of a sudden she had a headache. Yeah. I've had an ex-wife had a bit of excuse in that. But moving on. Waste of time, waste of space. What's she ever done for England? Oh, she's a Corbynista and she's a real left-winger. Yeah. Oh, isn't that the same Abbott that sent her kids to a private school in Kensington? Oh, do I smell the hypocrisy? Where's the air freshener? Do me a favour. The trouble is, Sam, we get all this trivia being dug up, and it takes the pressure off the real things, the real decisions. Where are we going in the future? How are we going to run our country? How look at the problems we've got? We don't know this stupid trivia. Love signing it.
And you mentioned David Davis there, indicating this week the UK unlikely to invoke Article 50 at the EU summit in early March. Thoughts
well,
on?
The thing is, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So, and of course, the newspapers want the stuff to fill. So every casual remark by anybody is blown up into a big headline. The fact of the matter is, if you think about it, isn't it tremendous? David Cameron, let's go right back to the beginning. David Cameron thought, the referendum was a piece of cake. Whatever, I don't know. He walked around Europe, telling everybody, piece of cake, no problem. Let's go to the motions and win the referendum. Let's get back to our nice multicultural situation. Yeah, of course, he lost the bloody referendum. But because he lost the referendum, the civil servants hadn't been making any contingency plans. Now, if you're in business, you always have a plan B. What happened? What if? This lot was so arrogant in Whitehall, didn't have a plan B, because they didn't need one. Then they messed about for a month, thought it was only a month, before Theresa May took over. But she walked into a Whitehall civil service. She didn't have a plan B. So let me think about it. She had to start from scratch. And there's so much about leaving Brexit. And she had a civil service who were Remainers and loved going to have meetings in Europe and check meeting their counterparts. All of a sudden they had to think of the... It's been taking time. But again, as a businessman, I know when I'm going to do a deal with somebody. I don't tell everybody what my demands are when I go in, or before I go in, because they try to plan to refer. You wait, and you plan, and you beat me. Like football as well. What you read in the newspapers, you really do your real business behind the scenes. Not telling the world what you're going to do, which is in alert all your enemies to make sure you don't do it. And I believe we're making progress. The fact of the matter is, I think of those arrogant things to do, Mr. Was his name Juncker? We'll destroy you with this, with that, the other. Oh, yes. What's up, Mr. And they're bringing Obama and the IMF and everybody else, trying to threaten us, blah, blah, blah. And then Mr. Obama, what has Obama got to do? Talking to England about, you'll be the last back of the queue for negotiating new trade deal if you leave Europe. Oh, yeah? In comes Trump. No, you won't. You'll be the top of the queue. Whoop. That's true of you Europeans. And all of a sudden, one or two other, Greece is in a total mess. He's totally bloody bankrupt. Thank God we didn't go into the Euro. Now you've got elections coming up in Holland, France and Germany. And problems in Italy. And Greece are going down the tubes. It's all of a sudden, they can't threaten the squad as much as they were. I mean, you call their bluff anyway. The fact of now is, they haven't got that much strength. Now it turns out they've been cheating anyway. They all agree to spend 2% on GDP on defence for NATO. France haven't done it. Germany hasn't done it. Holland hasn't done it. Spain hasn't done it. Who's done it? Silly old bloody UK. They've done it. And Donald Trump has now said to the member of Europe, right, you're a member of NATO, you start to start spending your 2%. We're not going to subsidise you anymore. Otherwise, get on with it. So, the Europeans are a bit shaken in many ways. So they might not have to be so cocky and so arrogant. They might have to cut down on their waste and spending. We're going to get out. Look at the money we're going to save and put it back into our own country. And then what's more important, let's start on the waste at home. Isn't it nice? We've got a problem with old age pensioners in England. But don't worry, if you're Chinese living in China, our aid programme looks after the old Chinese ladies. That's nice, isn't it? Think about it. We're spending 0.7% of our GDP. The thing is, of course, as our GDP goes up, so that 0.7% goes up. We're not spending. We're chucking money out all over the place. Mr. Cameron, you've left. You've got a legacy. It's not the one you wanted. You've been a total pillock. Your Bullington Club, your Whitehall bubble, one of the great men of the 21st century will go down, being Nigel Farage. He fought 25 years to break out Europe. He succeeded. Mind you, he'll never get any acknowledgement or credit for it, but that doesn't matter. His satisfaction is knowing he did the job. Now it's up to Theresa May and David Davis to do the job properly. And do you know what? I think they will. Two great things for Yorkshire. We'll have a farming industry again. We'll have a fishing industry again. That's before we start. I had a farm once, down in Beaconsfield. Juicy milk, yoghurt, and ice cream. And that was buggered. It was the dairy industry. And what more now? We're importing more milk, more cream, more yoghurt, more cheese from Europe. After Brexit, our farmers can do it. That will give them the money to look after our countryside, preserve it for the next generation and the generation after that. So, bring form. Oh, I wish I was 40 years younger again. But I'm not. There they are. Have to rely on our sons and grandsons to do the right thing. And they're great. And a beneficiary of all, Yorkshire. Very clever country. Big farming. Big fishing. Big industry. So let's look forward. Feel great about it. Good night.